supposed to be time for a happy hour here, but guess what? I think we have a special treat today. We have Congressman Jeff Duncan. How are you doing today?
And I am doing great. It's great to be on. No intro with any George Strait like the last time I was on.
Well, see, that's my Saturday morning show. Right now, we're supposed to be in happy hour, and I'm supposed to be having a libation and talking about comedy and a little fun music here. But hey, I got you. Where are you at? Are you in Washington or are you here?
I'm actually in the Palmetto State today. We have a constituent work week for the month of May, and we're working hard. I'm just meeting with folks that want to have a little bit of FaceTime, talk with me about the issues that are on their minds and of concern to them. And so we enjoy doing that. And I was in Lawrence today, and I'll be in Southern Greenville County in just a little while at a barbecue that a gentleman invited Trey Gowdy and I to attend.
Well, make sure you say hello to Trey for me. I always enjoy talking to Trey.
I'm sorry?
I said make sure you say hello to Trey Gowdy for me.
I will. We've got a little bit of a bad connection. I'm catching about every other word. Would you like me to call back?
Why don't you do that then, Jeff? Why don't you call right back? Okay.
I'll call you right back.
Sounds great. Well, we're going to get ready and talk to Congressman Jeff Duncan here. He's on his way to a barbecue. Sounds like he must be in a car traveling, so we're going to wait for him just to call us right back right now. Let's check and see what is going on out there. What is going on? Well, the weather. What do we got for the weather? Sunshine out there right now. Sunshine. Well, looks like we got... Do we have him back on the air, Andy?
I'm back.
Okay, sounds good. All right, can you hear me better now?
I sure can. Thank you for letting me do that.
That's great. So you have an in-district work week. You've been talking to constituents. What's the word out there, Jeff? What are people saying?
Well, it's jobs and the economy, and that's really what they want the presidential candidates to talk about. And I think that's where Mitt Romney can win, is talking about jobs and the economy and the abysmal record of the Obama administration to provide jobs, and the fact that, are you really better off now than you were 4 years ago? And I believe the answer is no. Everywhere I go, it's no. Folks are concerned about whether them or their family are going to have jobs, and what we're doing about gas prices, and they're worried about the nation's debt and the government taking over our health care and EPA regulations, and everything we've talked about on your show many times are on the minds of the constituents.
Absolutely. But, I understand that you introduced a new energy program.
We did. I put together what we are calling the EXPAND Act, which if you can think energy, it's included in this. It's an all-of-the-above, truly an all-of-the-above energy plan. It's not all-of-the-above except for X, Y, and Z, as the president would like to have. It is truly all-of-the-above. It deals with offshore drilling, ending the moratorium, the de facto moratorium, expansion of nuclear power, opening up federal land for energy exploration and development. It is working on ending the ethanol mandate, ending the ethanol subsidies, ending the subsidies for green energy, and allowing free market principles to apply there. You know, if they're truly great technologies, then the private sector will step up and invest their money. You know, the president doesn't need to take our tax dollars from us and make investments for us and lose our money. We can do that ourselves. Hopefully we make wiser investments than the government does.
One would hope that we are able to do that. And, of course, one of the questions that, in fact, I just was talking to Kasen Gaither here on the show, and, of course, he is in a primary right now, and we'll see who ends up running against you, Jeff. But he really wants to know, is it correct you are against the Dodd-Frank?
I'm absolutely against the Dodd-Frank bill. I believe it was too much. It was government overreach, takeover of the financial industry. You're dealing with banks now that are having to comply with that, and they're not loaning money. They're not loaning the money or not able to loan the money that small businesses and large businesses need to really grow the economy and create jobs.
Well, so you're saying we should repeal that. Now, there's also, what is it, the Vogel Act?
I'm sorry, tell me that again.
The Vogel Act?
Yeah, the Vaca Rule.
The Vaca Rule, excuse me,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, there were some triggers. There were some laws already on the books prior to 2008 that the federal government, even under the Bush administration and the SEC, failed to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think government probably needed at that time to look at the liquidity requirements and capitalization ratios and other things, but I think Dodd-Frank was an overreach. I also agree that we should have gone back to some sort of resolution trust corporation scenario where a RTC-type entity would have been created to sell some of the assets versus the TARP bill that was passed and a government take over all these toxic assets, basically paying the banks off so that they could work out the sale of these. I think RTC worked better in the 90s, and it was proven, and we should have gone back with that model.
Absolutely. So what do you think the future as far as banks are, Jeff? I mean, you know, I just wonder, you know, we've got the investment aspect of it, and then we've got the commercial aspect of it. If our banks are not able to loan money, we can't seem to kickstart the economy because business people can't afford to do it all from their own pockets. And number two, we've got all these houses that need to be sold, and it's very difficult for the housing to be sold right now.
Sure it is, and that's all part of the Dodd-Frank. Banks are scared to death of loan money. They're scared to death to, and a lot of banks can't. They're operating under a consent order from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, OCC consent order, which is basically come in and written the management plan for the banks, and there are some banks in our local communities here that are operating under those consent orders, and I've read several of the consent orders, and it's a management plan for the bank that doesn't have any guys on shareholder value or return on investment, profitability. Its only purpose is liquidity, safety and soundness of the bank. And they're requiring excess capital ratios. They're really scrutinized even good borrowers who have had loans on the books, have been customers of the bank forever. If those loans come up for renewal, based on the OCC's consent order, the banks are having to go back and do new appraisals on those properties. And if they don't meet what the OCC thinks that the loan-to-value ratio should be on that property, it doesn't matter whether that customer has been a customer of that bank for 30 or 40 years. It doesn't matter whether that customer has made every payment, has an A credit rating. It doesn't matter any of that. It matters whether that is black and white, whether it meets their loan-to-value ratio. And so it was just, it's too much, Ann. And the banks have got to have a little leniency in order to put loans out there and allow the companies that can create jobs to have access to capital in order to do that.
So what's the answer, Jeff?
Well, roll back Dodd-Frank, go back and apply some common sense solutions, and I think the Energy and Commerce Committee and the Financial Services Committee and the House of Representatives are looking to do just some of that. But keep in mind, we still have a Democrat-controlled Senate that's not allowing anything to pass over there. So I don't know. There's not a magic wand. There's not a silver bullet. But you look at what the government should do, and that's enforcing the laws that are on the books. SEC still allowed a company like J.P. Morgan to basically lose money when the regulation should have been there, should have been enforced. We look at Bernie Madoff. You know, SEC looked the other way, and that was something that was right under their nose that they knew about, but they failed to deal with. And so a lot of folks lost a lot of money.
Absolutely. So what are you looking at for the for this coming year? Well, you know, I guess I heard the other day that y'all only have 43 days left in the session. That's what I heard.
That seems a little low. I haven't added them up.
To me, too. I'm like, wow. Well, what do you think is going to happen with the, you know, I've already heard Boehner talking about not raising the debt ceiling unless there is. We saw what happened last year. That kind of slid by the wayside. What's going to happen this year, Jeff?
Well, I applaud the speaker for coming out this week and saying that, you know, finally realizing that we need to make cuts to government spending in order to rein in the real drivers of our deficit and debt. I mean, keep in mind, we raised the debt ceiling last year, and so our nation's debt's going to be $16.7 trillion once we hit the debt ceiling again. Super Committee failed. The defense cuts that they wanted to use with sequestration, that was a farce. We all knew that. The folks that voted against raising the debt ceiling knew that was just a pawn in the game of trying to get folks to agree to go along with raising the debt ceiling. So we're going to have that vote again coming up. And truly, what do they do? I think the other side of the argument is in denial about what debt really is and about deficit spending and spending more money than you're bringing in. And just last week, I was walking around behind the Capitol on the lawn. You've been there, kind of the backyard of the Capitol there mm-hmm. at the mall. And I'm walking around, and somebody came up and said, "Congressman, can we help you?" And I said, "Well, I can't seem to find it." And they said, "Well, what is it you're looking for?" I said, "The money tree." I said, "I know it's here somewhere. The way we're spending money in there, surely they think there's a money tree out in the backyard." Well, it's not there. We cannot keep spending money we don't have. And that's really the bottom line in it. We've got to rein in government spending. And it's going to be painful. There are going to be programs that end. But I've got some simple ones. We can get the federal government out of a lot of things the federal government's involved in now that has no business being involved in.
Well, how about selling off some of these properties? I mean, I just saw a special where they had all these properties that are prime real estate just sitting there with no renters, nothing happening. They're just sitting there.
Exactly. Right. We passed a bill over to the Senate that was authored by Jeff Denham from California that would do just that, sell off these surplus government properties. You know, I believe in the auction method. I believe in true, above-the-board, transparent auctions where you bring all interested parties to one place one time, and that really creates market forces that drive the price up, and the taxpayer sells property in a very transparent manner, and we believe we'll get top dollar that way. So sell all these properties. There was a great show. John Micah from Florida was on there talking about the building right near the Capitol.
Right.
You could actually see the Capitol. Prime real estate that's been sitting vacant, I think he said, for 5 years.
Right.
Been sitting vacant for 5 years. Prime real estate. Whether they use that building or not, that's some of the most valuable dirt in America. And the government's just sitting on that building. Why not sell that and apply that money to the nation's debt?
Absolutely. And what about just, you know, I would think that some of this, you know, we've talked about this before, but going into individual committees and checking the budgets there, I mean, it's like the GSA and all this stuff that's happening up there. I tell you what, a lot of people are losing faith in our government up there, Jeff.
And rightly so. The government's spending money like they're partying like it's 1999, or whatever that song was. The GSA is, I think, the epitome of what's wrong with the federal government, and there's no accountability even to Congress. Then you have Eric Holder. They won't even be accountable to a congressional-issued subpoena. So if you've got the Attorney General of the United States, the guy that's in charge of upholding every law and prosecuting every law in this country, failing himself to comply with a subpoena, then where is respect for the rule of law all the way down the chain to the local level? If you're issued a subpoena now, why would you comply with it if the Attorney General is failing to comply with a subpoena?
Okay.
And that is the epitome of what's wrong with this country. And so I put in a bill to create an anti-appropriations committee known as the Byrd Committee in years past, where we'd look at every government expenditure and we'd really drill down into the budget and we'd start ending a lot of these programs that are duplicative, that outlive their usefulness, that are holdovers from the New Deal, from FDR in 1932. Our programs are still around, and it's time to really rein in the government.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I'm actually tomorrow, I'm going on an honor flight up to Washington, D.C., out of Columbia. And
Let me thank you for doing that. That is that's a tremendous program. My wife has been on honor flight. I've met the honor flight in Washington two times myself. My staff meets every honor flight from the upstate, either at the airport or at the World War II Memorial, just to thank those guys that defended the freedoms. But when I think about the freedoms they defended and the country that they fought for, it doesn't look the same as it does today.
Absolutely not. You know, one of the things that I've been trying to do a little brush up on World War II and what the country was like when they came back, and one of the things is when they came back, what did we do? We kind of unleashed the hounds, didn't we? We said, go do it. Make it happen.
Well, you know, one thing we did back in World War II and that era in the 1940s is we rallied around America. We believed that we were all united around one thing, and that's being American. But this president and the other party seems to want to divide and conquer us. They want to create this class warfare of haves and have-nots, of the wealthy versus the others, and this division and envy does not work for America. It didn't work. It never has worked. And we've got to have a presidential candidate, and we as congressional leaders and people that have a stage, we've got to talk about optimism for the future of America. We've got to talk about American greatness and exceptionalism. We've got to go back and remember those days of the 1940s and rally around America again and realize our country is bigger than us individually. You know, John Kennedy says, ask not what you can do. It's just important right now for us to remember history and for us to rally around the American optimism, the American greatness, American exceptionalism, focus on the future and realize that government's not the answer. We need to prop up the individual through empowering them to be the best they can be, and that's getting the government out of the way and letting that American exceptionalism thrive.
Well, you certainly are on a roll on getting us excited, but how do we make that happen, Jeff?
Well, it starts with the leader, and we need a leader that is not going to divide us and talk about envy and demonize success and vilify exceptionalism. We need a leader that says, you know what, I've been successful in my career, and if you elect me your president, I'm going to help you be successful, help you achieve the American dream. And American dream isn't receiving a check from the government and being propped up by the government. And sometimes the government may need to give you a helping hand up, but the American dream is you having the opportunity to chase your desires, to chase your desire to succeed and pursue that and succeed on your own and be successful at whatever your individual thinks that level of success is, and it's different for everyone. We need a leader that says, America, you know what? You know we're heading the wrong direction because we're headed off a cliff at $15.7 trillion in debt and 4 years in a row of deficit spending in excess of $1 trillion. You know we're heading the wrong direction. Tell you what, I was a turnaround guy. You elect me as your president. I help turn this country around, and we'll achieve the American dream together.
Well, Jeff Duncan, I guess we could say you're firmly in Mitt Romney's court now.
I am. We're going to rally behind Mitt Romney and make him the president of the United States because our country, I don't believe, will survive another 4 years under the Obama administration. We've seen the government grow exponentially. And when you go to Washington tomorrow, I want you to look at the skyline. I want you to count construction cranes that you see inside the Beltway. I stood on the back of the Capitol the other day with some folks from Anderson, and I said, I want y'all to count the construction cranes. And we counted 10 construction cranes just in our field of vision from the back of the Capitol. You know, I don't see that happening in the upstate. I don't see that happening in Charleston. I don't see that happening anywhere I travel around. And so what's important about the construction cranes? They're supporting big government. They're the apartment buildings, the office buildings, even the governmental buildings that are being built up there support big government. And it's happening inside the Beltway because government's growing so large, and it's not happening everywhere else. And that's indicative of the situation we have in America.
Absolutely. Well, we just had a comment come in that, you know, we won World War II because FDR turned the industry loose and dropped the government out of industry. We wouldn't have been able to produce the bullets and all this other stuff if government hadn't gotten out of the way. So, and then we talk about GM turned the other's competitors into one massive machine. We need this leadership today.
Well, I mean, government did get out of the way. Government unleashed the American spirit, the American entrepreneurialism. The individuals created the P-51 and those type programs. These were individual engineers that created these weapon systems that ended up helping us be successful. You also had a government spirit that said, you know what, we're going to allow our commanders like General Patton and General Eisenhower and General Bradley, we're going to turn them loose. We're not going to micromanage World War II from Washington and wait on them to get orders from the White House. We're going to empower our generals in the field, and we're going to allow them to prosecute the war and win it. Now, what have we seen since the Vietnam era Ford? Really, go back to Korea Ford. We've seen more involvement from the White House and from the federal government of micromanaging these wars, and we haven't been as successful as we needed to be and we can be. If we would empower our generals right now, turn them loose, they'd win the war in Afghanistan quicker than you can imagine.
So, what's the answer?
Well, I believe in limited government, free markets, and individual liberties. That's the core principles that I stand behind. Limited government. Our founders envision a very small government with more power residing with the states or the people. So I think we need to look at every government program that's not constitutional. In fact, I told Kevin McCarthy the other day, there shouldn't be this much drama in Washington. He kind of looked at me and said, well, how do you figure not much drama? And I said, well, you know, the Constitution really only gives us 18 things to do. only have 18 powers. Everything else we're doing beyond that 18 then is out of bounds. We're off base, and we need to rein in government. It should be a simple job dealing with 18 powers as our founders envisioned. And so limited government, as our founders envisioned, free markets. That means empowering the market to really, and that's getting government out of the way with regard to taxation, regulation, litigation, those big three things that are hampering the economy. Get government out of the way, and I believe the economy will come rocketing back. And then individual liberty, the freedoms we enjoy, and chase that American dream. Not worry about being sued for crossing the street wrong. Yeah, I know that's simplistic, but we've got to unleash the American spirit and unleash the American exceptionalism.
I think one of the things is, how do we get that back, Jeff? I mean, I think a lot of people have been beat down so far, and then, of course, there's been so many handouts, that how do we get that back?
Well, I think it begins with the rhetoric, the speeches that we give, us as political leaders, telling folks, explaining why our vision is that, going back into the schools and teaching that historical aspect of the founding fathers, why America is great. Not apologizing for American greatness around the world, but going around the world and saying, you know what, America's great, you need to be like America. Not having a Supreme Court justice go to Egypt and say, you know what, as you craft your Constitution, don't necessarily look at the United States Constitution. Maybe consider Constitution of South Africa or a Constitution that had been created in the post-World War II era. You know what, I would have gone over there and said, here's your blueprint. Here's your document that you can absolutely follow that will protect the freedoms and liberties of the individual, will set forth a limited government that will help your economy thrive, will unleash the spirit of the individual and the entrepreneur, and here's your blueprint right here, the United States Constitution.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, Jeff Duncan, I want you just to tell me real quickly what you have looked over these last, God, it'll be coming up 2 years, it's hard to believe. What do you point to as far as something that you can say, I am proud that I have accomplished this?
Well, I think most importantly, we've changed the conversation from a conversation of the past Congresses of how much more can we spend, where can we stimulate the economy with government spending. We've changed that conversation to where can we cut, how do we rein in spending, how do we address the deficits, how do we address our debt. We definitely changed the conversation. I mean, before we were there, the debt ceilings have been raised in the past without really one word of debate uttered. Everybody just went along to get along and raise the debt ceiling. Now we've changed the conversation, and we've awoken the American spirit to what debt means, and I think most Americans realize that we may need to raise the debt ceiling to work our way out of this, but they want us to really address the drivers of that and come up with a plan, a business plan for this government to start getting us out of debt and shoring up our financial side of the house. And it's about, I think, our biggest national security issue is the financial security of our nation.
Well, it is financial security, and if we don't put all these people back to work, and you know, where are we going to be? We have people that can't find a job. They can't find a job that they're qualified for, which is, of course, another issue. We have all these college graduates coming out, and they're looking at either going back to school for the technical aspect rather than for the jobs that they actually went to school for.
Well, we've got all this money sitting on the sidelines in businesses that have made it, and they're scared to invest in their property and in their and expanding their employees because they don't know what those employees are going to cost them. With the Obamacare, what's that employee going to cost the employer going forward?
Mm-hmm.
And then you always have this fear of cap and trade and the global warming alarmists that they want to see us move toward more renewables and higher cost energy sources. And so, what are my utility rates going to be going forward? And if I expand my physical plant, I expand the building, and I buy new equipment, what's it going to cost me to run that equipment? And then if I do buy that equipment, what are the EPA regulations? What's the regulatory environment going to look like with EPA every day coming out with new regulations that are thwarting businesses? So you've got a what are my employees going to cost issue. You've got a utility cost and overhead issue. You've got the fear of regulatory red tape that businesses have to operate under. And then you've got this constant fear of litigation like we see through the NLRB suing South Carolina and suing Boeing Industries for moving to South Carolina. But you've also got other litigation issues out there. And so you've really got all that. And they're saying, you know what, I think I'll hold out a little longer before I invest that money and create those jobs because I really don't know what those jobs are going to cost me ultimately.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, it is always a pleasure to have you on the air with me. I understand you're on your way to a barbecue this evening.
We are. We're going to, Trey Gowdy and I are attending, it's going to be law enforcement officers there and other other city and county officials, and so it'd be a great way to interact with folks that we really believe in what they're doing and their capacities, and so give us a chance to give them a Washington update. And I always enjoy being on your show. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. We've got a lot going on in Washington. We had the NDAA last week. We're a number of appropriations bills. We've got the Bush-era tax rates that are coming up for expiration. We've got payroll and unemployment insurance benefits expiring at the end of the year. We've got the debt ceiling. We've got a number of things coming up. It's going to be a very interesting legislative year.
Well, I am looking forward to coming up. I hope you guys are going to be doing something up there in the fall. Will you be?
We will be. We'll be working hard. You know, we do have everybody in the country has an election in November, and most importantly, we've got a presidential election in the United States Senate to change, and so I just ask folks to get involved.
Absolutely. Well, listen, are you going to be here in Greenwood Thursday night for the stump that they're having Thursday?
I'm really not sure what Thursday night looks like. I don't believe I will be. I think we had made a commitment several months ago before that date was set. If I can make it work, I will, but I do believe that I've got something going on in Anderson that evening.
All right. Well, that sounds okay. You can always call me on the radio. We can always have a conversation.
There you go. That works for me.
All right. Thanks so much, Congressman Jeff Duncan. God bless.
And thank you. God bless you and God bless America.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.